Begin with prayer. Our Father, we bow in your presence once again, realizing that you are the Almighty God. You are the eternal God, everlasting God. You never had a beginning, and you will never have an end. You are an uncreated being. And Father, you are the one who created this entire universe for a reason. And there's not one maverick molecule in this universe that's not under your hand. And that amazes us. You are indeed an awesome God. And Father, it just absolutely amazes us that you loved us. And you loved us so much that you became a man in order to die on a cross for our sin, to give us forever life as a free gift. And that just absolutely blows us away, Father. And we're mindful of that, and you have written this story for us in a book. And every word has been put here by the Holy Spirit, and every word is designed to be known and understood. So give us wisdom, Father, as we just get a flyover of the purpose of the Edomites tonight and the end of the Edomites. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. So we read verse 1. It says, now this is the genealogy of Esau. That's the fleshly guy, right? But then it says, who is Edom? There it is. Esau is Edom. Now we've identified him. So all of the Edomites, all of the Edomians came from Esau. And the part that he plays. Now, what I want us to do, look in Obadiah. You say, where? Go to your index, folks. That's why they put that index in there. That whole book of Obadiah is about Edom. Everything in that book gives us the background of the history of the Edomites and how they were interacting with the Jews. And this is what this is all about. And I just want to kind of go through Obadiah briefly. There's an incident in history, and it's recorded here, that put the Edomites on the downside of God when Nebuchadnezzar, back in 587 BC, attacked Israel. The Edomites said, look, we'll help you, talking to Nebuchadnezzar. If you'll let us in, we'll help you in the in this battle against Jerusalem. Well, Nebuchadnezzar did. He let them in, but they didn't. When they got in, they killed as many of the Jews as they possibly could, and it was a horrible time. And Obadiah records that right here. Let's just kind of read through Obadiah. I'll pick out a few places I want you to see. It says, the vision of Obadiah, thus says the Lord God concerning, here it is, Edom. Circle that. See it? We have heard a report from the Lord, and a messenger has been sent among the nations, saying, arise and let us rise up against her for battle. Behold, I will make you small among the nations. God is talking about the Edomites. You shall be greatly despised. The pride of your heart has deceived you. You who dwell in the clefts of the rock. That's Petra. Have you heard of Petra? One day the Jews are going to go to Petra to hide. And we're going to talk about that tonight, to hide from the Antichrist. And that's it. That's true to the text. That's going to happen. And I'm going to bring that to a close in just a few minutes. You who dwell in the clefts of the rocks, whose habitation is high, reading verse 3, you who say in your heart, who will bring me down to the ground? They were very proudful people. Though you ascend as high as the eagle, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down, says the Lord. I'm going to get you, Edom. But the idea, he's going to get them because they had betrayed the Jews. And there was never a love lost between Esau and Jacob. That's what I want you to see. All the way through history, they hated each other from the beginning because Jacob, remember, stole the blessing. But did Esau care? Not really. He didn't care. I mean, he sold it for how much? What did he sell it for?
Soup,
a bowl of soup. That's how much spiritual life meant for him. Just, I'm hungry. What good is a heritage? What good is a birthright to me when I'm starving to death? Give me the bowl of soup. I'll swap it. So he stole his, and that's the most important thing to the Jews, is their family heritage, and especially that birthright, being the firstborn in the family. So he sold him the birthright, and Esau later on tried to get Isaac to change his mind, couldn't change his mind. Isaac had been deceived, remember? And they went through all that deception of putting the hair on the, and making it seem like it was Esau when it was really Jacob. And Jacob and his mother conspired, stole the birthright. Well, that's a lot more to it, what I'm saying, in the Word than that. This thing just penetrates the Word of God. And Obadiah says, in verse 4, though you ascend as high as an eagle, that's the Petra and the rocks, and though you set your nest among the stars, from there I will bring you down. Now look down in verse 6. Oh, how Esau searched out, how his hidden treasure shall be sought after. All the men of your confederacy shall force you to the border. The men at peace with you shall deceive you and prevail against you. Those who eat your bread shall lay a trap for you. No one is aware of it. Will I not in that day, says the Lord, even destroy the wise men from, what is it?
Edom.
The understanding from the mountains of Esau. Then your mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed, to the end that everyone from the mountains of Esau may be cut off by slaughter. Now, why look in verse 10? Verse 10 is the reason. For violence against your brother Jacob. That's what this is all about. You hate your brother so much that hatred penetrates your whole family line all through the Bible. And it comes down to the very end. And look in verse 14. You should not have stood at the crossroads. Now, this is when Nebuchadnezzar, back in 587, attacked Jerusalem and the part that Edom played. Edom played a part in that. You know, they told Nebuchadnezzar, we're going to help you. We'll help you take care of, you know, do your thing. Or really, they told the Jews that they were going to help them, and Nebuchadnezzar let them in, let the Edomites in some fashion. I'm not even sure how all that happened. But in verse 14, it said, you should not have stood at the crossroads and to cut off those among them who escaped. That's the Jews. It's like the Edomites were saying, here's a Jew hiding over here. Here's a Jew hiding over here. And the Edomites were pointing out to Nebuchadnezzar where the Jews were hiding. Does that make sense? That's what was going on there. The Edomites were betraying. They promised to ally themselves with Israel, but once inside the gates, they began to betray them. And he says, nor should you have delivered up those among them who remained in the day of distress. God says, I'm going to get you. That's the point. I'm going to get you. Look in verse 17. But on Mount Zion there shall be deliverance, and there shall be holiness. The house of Jacob shall possess their possessions. That's the Edomites. The house of Jacob, said simply, is going to win in the end. Look down in verse 19. The south shall possess the mountains of Esau. And the lowland shall possess Philistia. They shall possess the fields of Ephraim and the fields of Samaria. Benjamin shall possess Gilead. And the captives of the host of the children of Israel shall possess the land of the Canaanites. The whole idea is Edom attempted to betray Israel, but God found them out. And he says, I'm going to get you. And that's much of the print of the Old Testament is that interaction. Edom versus Jacob. Edom versus Israel. And when you read the Old Testament, you find that every time you come across that word Edom, you need to circle it. Because there's something there that's very, very important that you need to see. Now, I want to get to this because this will kind of get you to the end of the Edomites. That's what I talked about. Once we leave tonight, we're going to have the Edomites behind us, but I want you to see how this all comes about. I want to show you how much God loves the Jews and how much God loves especially the city of Jerusalem. I've always been fascinated with Jerusalem, the city of peace. Now remember, God says way back in Romans 11, I'm going to have a remnant of Israel. There's going to be a remnant that's going to be saved. A remnant of the Jews, in the end, is going to be saved. Just like Elijah on Mount Carmel, do you remember that? God says, I have 7,000 Jews who have not bowed the knee to Baal. Right? Remember that? I have a remnant. God always has a remnant. And Satan has been after the Jews throughout all of the Word of God to destroy the people who gave birth to the Son of God. It's been Satan's desire to destroy the Jews, to kill them all. That's, if you want to put the Bible in one gigantic statement, that would be it. And how God protected the Jews through all of this, but I want you to see how much God loved Jerusalem in Zechariah chapter 8. My two favorite chapters on the end times, one is Isaiah, the other is Zechariah. And we'll look at something I want to show you here in just a minute that just it always brought tears to my eyes when I see it. But it's fascinating to see in Zechariah 8, we see this. Verse 1, again, the word of the Lord of hosts came saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, I am zealous for Zion. That's Jerusalem. I want to write that out there by that. That's Jerusalem. With great zeal. This is God talking here. God speaking. With great fervor, I am zealous for her. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. You see that part? Underline that. I will return to Zion. I'm coming back. And dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts. Old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem. I'd like to be there. What about you? I didn't mean, when I said old men and old women, I didn't mean to look around at y'all, because I qualify now. Each one with his staff in his hand because of great age. The streets of the city, verse 5, shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days. Will it also be marvelous in my eyes, says the Lord of hosts. I look down in verse 23. One of my favorite verses in all the world is verse 23 in Zechariah chapter 8. Watch this. It says, thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man. You see that? Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days, 10 men from every language of the nation shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you. I love that. Grab the sleeves of the Jews. Okay? Now, here's what... The reason I like Zechariah so much is it talks about the ending of the Edomites as a nation. The Edomite capital back in those days was a city called Bozra. Bozra in the Hebrew means sheep pen or sheep fold. Now, if you look back in Micah, you remember the beast and the false prophet and the Antichrist, they're going to be coming after who? The Jews, to destroy them. In fact, during the tribulation, the world is going to hate the Jews. They're going to be running for their lives. And it will come down to Jesus and his prophecy in Matthew, when he said, Matthew 24:15, when you see the abomination of desolation, now who's that? That's the Antichrist. He's called the beast. He's called the false prophet. The Antichrist. When you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet standing in the holy place, run for your lives. That's what he's telling them. Now, I want you to see something here that's, to me, is the most fascinating thing. In Micah, if you're looking there now, chapter 2, look in verse 12. Micah chapter 2, verse 12. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. Now, when we see Jacob, what we need to think about are the Jews. Like when we see Esau, we think of the Edomites. Do you see the difference? Esau equals Edom. Jacob equals the Jews. The 12 tribes. And we've already gone through the 12 tribes briefly in Genesis 35. Before we got to the genealogy of Esau in Genesis 36. Sounds like you're in a trigonometry class in college, doesn't it? Look in verse 12. Micah 2:12. I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. In the end of all of human history, the remnant's going to be saved. That's what prophecy is all about. If you want to put prophecy in a line, that's what it's all about. God's going to save, ultimately, a remnant of the Jews. They're never going to be all destroyed. God's going to save them. That's why one of my favorite passages is Romans 11. It talks about that. And the Jews are going to be grafted back into the wild olive tree. And this is what's so fascinating in Micah chapter 2, verse 12. I will assemble all of you, O Jacob. Now, here's when they're being pursued by the Antichrist at this point. He's after them. Remember Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, run for your lives. And they're going to be running to a place. A place of hiding that God has already prepared for them. He's prepared for them now. A place for them to go to survive. And he says, I will surely assemble all of you, O Jacob. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. Now, read them closely. I will put them together like sheep of a fold. That the words sheep of a fold is a Hebrew word, basra. That's what it is. If you said, give me one word to explain sheep of a fold or a sheep pen, it would be basra. Basra is the sheep pen. Basra is the place where God is going to hide his remnant one day. It's coming. That's what Jesus was saying when he said, you see the abomination of desolation? You get out of here. But they know it's already built into them where they're supposed to go. And they're going to go to Basra. And the deal here is it's so beautiful. Basra is ground zero for the people who hate them. That's the Edomites. I mean, God is going to spare his people. They're going to be safe in plain sight. That's amazing to me. You're going right in the middle of the heart of the people who hate you. Well, that's where I'm going to hide you. And I'm thinking, God, you're a genius. That is fascinating to me. You're going to take them to your sheepfold, Basra. That's also called Petra. How many have heard about Petra and the rocks? And that's where they're going to go. That's the same place. That's where we started out at, the rocks. And they're going to be hidden there. And now the Antichrist is after them. Okay? And he says, I will put them together like a sheepfold. That's Basra. Like a flock in the midst of their pasture, they shall make a loud noise because of so many people. The one who breaks open will come up before them They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out by it. Now, that's another story I'd love to tell you. Their king will pass before them with the Lord at their head. He's leading them. The idea here is they're being led by God to Bozrah. And Bozrah is the capital of now. Well, Amman is the capital of Jordan now, but back in the ancient world, it was Bozrah was the capital of Jordan, of the Edomites. So the Edomites, what I'm saying is they have a tremendous role to play in all of this. That's Esau. Goes all the way back to Esau. If you spread Esau out, you get the whole Edomite nation. You get the Edomians. You get Herod, all the Herod, the kings, the Herod dynasty. That all of those are Edomites. They were the ones waiting for the birth of Jesus so they could kill him. And the Edomites have been hating the Jews, and the Jews have been hating the Edomites for centuries. And people wonder, why are the Jews hated so much? Was built in. It's built into both sides. In Zechariah chapter 12. Now remember, we started out this study in Genesis by talking about the names of God. Elohim, Adonai, Jehovah. Remember that? And we said that Jehovah was capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. Y'all remember that way back long ago? That's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ in his pre-incarnate form. But look in verse 12, verse 1. The burden of the word of the Lord, that's Jehovah, against Israel, says the Lord, who stretches out the heavens and lays the foundations of the earth and forms the spirit of man within him. Behold, I, now who is that?
Jehovah.
Will make Jerusalem a cup of drunkenness to all the surrounding peoples when they lay siege against Judah and Jerusalem. And it will happen in that day that I, now who is that?
Jehovah,
keep it going, will make Jerusalem a very heavy stone for all the peoples. All who will heave it away will surely be cut in pieces, though all nations of the earth shall be gathered against it. Verse 4, in that day says the Lord, that's Jehovah. Now look down at verse 7, the Lord Jehovah. Verse 8, and then that day, the Lord Jehovah. And then verse 9, it shall be in that day that I, Jehovah, will seek all the nations that come against Jerusalem. Now look in verse 10. And I will pour on the house of David, are you reading this with me? Mm-hmm. And on the inhabitants of Jerusalem, the spirit of grace and supplications. Now watch this. They will look upon me. Now who is that?
Jehovah,
whom they have what?
Pierced.
Who'd they pierce?
Jesus.
Who'd they pierce?
Jesus.
Yeah. One and the same. Jehovah. Now let's go over to chapter 13 and look in verse 7. This is coming down to the end. We're going to get rid of the Edomites right here. The scripture tells of their demise. In Zechariah 13, verse 7, it says, awake, O Lord, against my shepherd. Notice that's capitalized. Against the man who is my companion, says the Lord of hosts. Strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Then I will turn my hand against the little ones. And it shall come to pass in all the land of Israel, says the Lord. Now, that land of Israel, I added. It's not in there. But he's talking about the land of Israel. That two-thirds in it shall be cut off and die. Here's the point. When Jesus says, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, run for your lives. Now, there's a lot of things that's happened before that. The beast and the false prophet are on their way. The Antichrist is on his way to destroy them. And Jesus is saying, run for your lives. But run where?
Bozrah.
Good job. Go to Bozrah. God puts it in their heart. Where's the sheepfold? Well, it's right in the middle of Jordan. It's right in the middle of your enemies. You're going to be hidden in plain sight. Head for those hills. Head for those rocks. Head for those mountains. And that's what they do. But in the process, two-thirds of it shall be cut off. They're going to die. And that begins in Matthew 24, the great tribulation. And one-third shall be left in it. One-third is going to make it through. I will bring the one-third through the fire. Verse 9. I will refine them as silver is refined. That's what he does with the Jews. And test them as gold is tested. They will call on my name. Remember, I love this. You will see me no more until you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. They will call on my name at that time. They will say, help us. Here we are, we're trapped. This group of Jews. Now, I told Linda today, I think it's going to be a lot of powerful Jews in that group, like Benjamin Netanyahu, a lot of elite Jews in that group. They're going to be held captive at Basra. But God has, to me, that's an amazing picture. And it says, they will call on my name, and I look at this, and I will answer them. I will say, this is my people. And each one will say, the Lord is my God. Isn't that great? That gives me goosebumps when I say that. And then it says in chapter 14, verse 1, behold, the day of the Lord is coming, and your spoil will be divided in your midst. And I will gather all nations to battle against whom?
Jerusalem.
They're coming.
Does that mean America too?
I mean, I think America is going to be the tip of the spear. Hmm. I'm putting that on tape. But watch this. I will gather all nations to battle against Jerusalem. This is the beast and the false prophet and Satan. The city shall be taken, the houses rifled, and the women ravished. Half of the city shall go into captivity. But the remnant of the people shall be cut off from the city, or shall not be cut off from the city. The idea here is God is going to save a remnant. That's all. One third is going to make it to Basra. How many is that? I don't know, several thousand Jews. Like when Elijah said, God says, I have 7,000 people that have not bowed the knee to Baal. There's going to be 7,000 people, not 7,000, but thousands, holed up in Basra. But there's something that happens in the meantime. The Antichrist is on his way. He's amassing the army at the Valley of Armageddon. Mm-hmm. Y'all have heard about that, right? Mm-hmm. The Battle of Armageddon. There's no battle fought in Armageddon. That's the place of the amassing of the armies to come against Jerusalem, led by the Antichrist. There are going to be several armies that are going to amass there, and they're going to go against Jerusalem to finally do away with not only the Jews, but the God of the Jews. This is satanic to the core. They want to exterminate the Jews. So they're heading, they're massing the armies, getting ready to go to Jerusalem. But in the meantime, Babylon, which has been rebuilt and become the capital of the Antichrist, that's some fascinating news. Babylon is going to be rebuilt. And it's going to be his capital. Well, he's coming now. God has parted the Tigris-Euphrates River so he can bring his armies across. They're massed themselves at the Armageddon, the Valley of Megiddo, Jezreel Valley. And they're going against the Jews. They're going to wipe them out. That's what the whole point is. But just about that time, God says Babylon's time is over. He's going to destroy Babylon. This is all in Revelation, clear. He's going to destroy Babylon, the Antichrist's capital. And the Antichrist is going to get word that his capital, Babylon, is destroyed. He's furious. That's when he's going to offer the image of himself in the temple to be worshipped as God. And that's when he tells the people to run for their lives because it's about over. Run to Basra. Go to Basra. Go to the sheepfold that I prepared for you, Hosea says. And look in verse 3. It says, then the Lord, who is that?
Jehovah.
Will go forth and fight against those nations as he fights in the day of battle. Now look in verse 4. And in that day, his feet, whose feet?
Jehovah.
Wait a minute now, look here. Does Jehovah has feet? Mm-hmm. Come on. This almighty God that we worship, this God that is sovereign, eternal life, this God is righteous and just, holy, he has feet? That's what it says. Now look where it's going to stand. And his feet will stand that day where?
On the Mount of Olives.
That's where he's coming back to. Why not? That's where he left from, remember? He went up to the Mount of Olives and right in the, his disciples were watching him, and he just went. And this angel said, don't be worried. This same Jesus is coming back from where? Right here. He's coming back here. That's what this is all about. Now, that gives me goosebumps when I see that. I say, God, you're a genius. You're absolutely a genius. You put all this together. And his feet will stand that day on the Mount of Olives, which faces Jerusalem on the east. The Mount of Olives shall split in two from the east and from the west to make a great valley. And we're going to see that later on. I wish I had time to get into all that. That's going to become an escape route for Israel. In verse 9, it says, and the Lord shall be king over all the earth. And that day it shall be the Lord is what? One. This is chapter verse 9. The Lord shall be king over all the earth. He's coming back to reign as king over the earth, over a kingdom in that day. And his name, one. Now, here's what I want you to see. We'll close here. Look at Isaiah 63. Now, we've talked about running to Bozrah. We've talked about how Nebuchadnezzar was coming against Jerusalem in 587 B.C. And the Edomites betrayed the Jews. And God says, I'm going to get you. The Edomites betrayed the Jews. They said, look, we're going to help you destroy the Jews. But when they got inside, they began to rape and pillage. And God says, I'm going to get you. There's not a place you can run. You can't hide. I'm going to get you. And this is where he gets them right here. This is we're looking now at Isaiah 63. Here's the scenario I want to give you. Here comes, this could be a good movie. It would make a good drama. Here comes the Jews escaping from Jerusalem because the Antichrist is about to be on the loose. Jesus said, when you see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, you got to go back to Daniel to find that out. Daniel 9, 24 through 27, exactly. So when you see that happen, when you see this happen, the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, run for your lives, head to Bozrah, any way you can get there. And now this is going to be a modern time. They're not going to go by horseback. Some are going to fly. Some are going to take a train. Some are going to, I don't know how they're going to get there, but get there. And there God's going to hide them in plain sight. He's going to hide them in his sheepfold. The Antichrist, in the meantime, here's, like I said, make a great movie, finds out he's been tricked. He's heading out now to destroy Israel for the last time, but they're not there. A third of them are not there. They're gone. And he's saying, what happened? Well, it didn't take him long through the technology of that day to find out where they're going. They're going to Bozrah. So where is he going to go? He's going to first ravage Jerusalem with a vengeance. He's going to come in and destroy Jerusalem. And then he's going to head to where?
Bozrah.
Why? Because that's where the Jews are. And this is all satanic working. He wants to destroy the Jews. They're down there. They're there. And just before they get there, just before the Jews, when they're all there, just before the Antichrist, who finds out where they are, he's on his way with his armies. He's surrounded Bozrah. He's now going to do away, finally, at last, with the Jews. He's going to get them all gone. No more Jews. They've been hated more than any nation on the planet. Our whole lifetime they've been hated. Now, at the end, we're going to get them. And I'm sure the Antichrist is saying, we got them. We got them. But hold it. Got a rescue coming. Got a rescue coming. That's when the trumpet's going to sound. And they're going to be crying out, Lord, save us. My people are crying out, save us. And he says, I'm going to answer them. And I'm going to come. And I'm going to redeem them. I'm going to rescue them. I call that in my book, the greatest rescue in history. And it is. Kind of like John Wayne and the Indians, you remember? John Wayne always came over the hill in time. Here comes the Lord Jesus. Look at this in verse 1, it says, who is this who comes from Edom? There it is. See it? Who is this who comes from Edom? It's talking about Jesus. With dyed garments from Bozrah, the sheepfold. This one who is glorious in his apparel, traveling in the greatness of his strength. He who speak in righteousness, mighty to save. Why is your apparel red and your garments like one who treads in the winepress? I have trodden in the winepress alone, and from the peoples no one with me, for I have trodden them in my anger and trampled them in my fury. This guy is killing Edomites. The Lord Jesus Christ with a sword is doing the Edomites in completely. Now that's a horrible picture, but he's going to do it. He's going to free the Jews. Their blood sprinkled is upon my garments. I have stained all my robes. For the vengeance of my heart and the year of my redeemed has what?
Come.
I looked, but there was no one to help. And I wondered if there was no one to uphold. Therefore, my own arm brought salvation for me, and my own fury it sustained me. Now notice the me, it's all capital. I have trodden down the peoples in my anger, made them drunk in my fury, and brought down their strength to the earth. In other words, that's the end of the Edomites.